All right, what do you say? Let's do this thing. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. That means it's Wednesday, and it is November the 3rd, 2021. Tom, I was reflecting driving into the beautiful KVOI, Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. What a lovely fall, beautiful autumn we are having here in southern Arizona. Temperatures have been a little on the warm side. Nothing, you know, who can...
Mid-80s are delightful.
Mid-80s are delightful. The nights are...
Nice, cool, sleeping temps in the mid-50s.
Low 50s to mid-50s. Yeah. So, and as long as the wind doesn't kick up, you know how I feel about wind coming from Chicago. It must be from my early days there where the wind would blow and it was 20 below and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that's for another story. We are at 10:30, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The call letters are KVOI. It's easy to remember. K-Voice. We are the voice, the trusted news talk voice for Southern Arizona. My website is buckmastershow.com. That's where we have all of our live listening. In other words, live streaming the show. We have podcasts and we have an archive going back nearly 11 full years. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Of course, yesterday was Election Day. Voters have now spoken. Democrat Kevin Dahl will be Tucson's newest council member. The unofficial vote tally gives him nearly 58% of the votes in Ward 3. By the way, Kevin will be my newsmaker interview on Friday. He'll be our Friday focus interview with me in studio. And then in Ward 5 on the south side, longtime councilman Richard Fimbres cruising to 71% of the vote. And incumbent councilman Steve Kasachek defended his Midtown Ward 6 seat against an outspoken supporter of Donald Trump. The man's name is Val Romero, and he ran as an independent, but Steve Kasachek had very little trouble putting him away in this election, Kasachek pulling 64% of the vote. Let's go now to visit with Councilman Steve Kasachek. Congratulations, Councilman.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it. I'm glad to have it behind us because we have some pretty important issues that are immediate and that we have to get our arms around like now. So it's nice to have the campaign done, the election over. Now it's, you know, right back to work. Sun comes up and you're back behind the desk and doing the stuff.
Yeah, and this $15 minimum wage, the public, the voters in the city of Tucson really liked it. 2-1 margin on that. It was called Prop 206. Now the heavy lifting, Councilman, for you and your colleagues. How in the world do you implement this thing?
Well, first of all, it rolls out over the next 2.5 years, so it's not immediately $15. So that's one piece, and so it incrementally builds up. I believe it's $13.10 next year, and January 1st or something like that. So it's a slow rollout. When I was speaking to some of the small business owners, 4th Avenue downtown merchants, in Ward 6, prior to coming out with a position on this, their position was, look, it's difficult right now from a recruitment and retention standpoint. So their primary interest was, if we pass this, it's fine because we small businesses will not be laying people off. In fact, right now it's difficult to hire people. You know, you read the stories about people quitting their jobs all over the country and labor shortages and that kind of thing. So my initial hesitation about what's it going to do in terms of competitiveness were laid to rest when I started talking to some of the business owners. And I understand that that's not an across-the-board opinion, but you know, on balance, that's the reason I came out in favor of it. There are some pieces of this that will be challenged legally. One of them is the expanding the jurisdiction of the Tucson City Court. It is now giving people a private cause of action to bring civil suits into city court. That is not something that the city court has within their jurisdiction. and you don't change jurisdictions of courts through propositions. That happens either through the state constitution or statutorily. So I'm certain that that piece of the proposition is going to get challenged legally and very, very likely just get thrown out. So that's, you know, that's probably coming. We will have to form a, quote, city department of labor that will have some enforcement challenges in front of us. We are reaching out right now to the city of Flagstaff to see how they're managing it so we don't go and reinvent the wheel. So there will be some administrative heavy lifting that, that takes place. So it's sort of three different pieces. Number one, the $15. And my suspicion is that most people who voted in favor of it looked at $15 an hour over 3 years and said, yeah, we should do that. The details, I suspect lots of people didn't look into the details. The second piece is the expansion of the city court jurisdiction. That will probably fail when it's challenged. And the third piece is the Department of Labor at the city level, and that's something we're gonna have to do. But we're gonna look and see what Flagstaff has done, so you know, we can learn from, you know, from their experiences.
Will the state try to challenge this? The whole thing.
The state tries to challenge every blasted thing we do. So, I'm not sure that I can make a prediction on that one, but it would not surprise me. For instance, the state Supreme Court?
Yesterday.
Yeah, okay, yeah. They ruled in our favor on the vaccination mandate. And it literally took the state Supreme Court less than 60 seconds into arguments to say that what you, the state legislature and Governor Ducey, are doing is unconstitutional. So I would not be surprised to see somebody try and challenge this. I'm not sure the basis on which they would, because, again, there is a state minimum wage, and all the only thing statutorily that we're prevented from doing is having a minimum wage that's lower than what the state level is. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't do that. So, again, it wouldn't surprise me, but they're suing us over everything, even things that this very, very conservative state Supreme Court takes less than 60 seconds to throw out.
What about this other proposition that would give council members a raise? Not the current group, but future council people.
So I have absolutely supported that. You know, we're paid $24,000 a year. The issues that we deal with are fundamentally important to the region, to quality of life issues. We do things such as work on historic preservation for the Benedictine Monastery. We are working on water contamination issues, PFAS that's threatening our central well field, water security, gun control, animal welfare, the RTA relationship we have with the jurisdiction, with the regional jurisdictions now. These aren't sub-minimum wage decisions, and there's not sub-minimum wage issues. I'm in this office from 10 o'clock-ish in the morning until 9 o'clock at night, and in here 7 days a week. So if you want to expand the pool of people who are able to do this, then you have to pay something that they don't, that they're not going to have to work a second job. I was speaking with Tom before we went on the air about the fact that when I worked at the university, I was there 32 years and was able to put away sufficient savings so that I'm combining the council salary with some retirement income.
Sure.
So Paul Cunningham has a second job. Rahina did when she was a council member. Nikki Lee has a second job. I believe Lane Santa Cruz. So if you want somebody to do this job full time, and it is a very full time job if done correctly, then you're going to have to understand that you can't pay them $24,000 a year and just hope that they can figure out the rest of their finances. You're correct. I think it's $36,000. It doesn't kick in until December of 23, I think, and so it's not even immediate. And so you look at some of the other jurisdictions around the state, comparably sized jurisdictions, and Tucson City Council has paid the least. So I've fully supported it, and I've supported it every time it's come to the ballot, because it. Number one, it's fair. It's representative of the importance of the decisions that we make. And again, if you want to get people, a broad array of people who are even able to run for this office, then you need to pay it, you know, something that's commensurate with the responsibility it brings to the table.
And it's barely, was it leading by about 100 votes, something like that?
Yeah, 100, 150, something like that. Mm-hmm. Last night when I turned the TV off, but it was, yeah, it's not a slam dunk by any means.
All right. Steve Kasachek with us on the live line. Councilman, we are starting to talk about Thanksgiving, which is 3 weeks from tomorrow, and Steve and the team up at Mona's Danish Bakery are now accepting orders for Thanksgiving. I don't recall, I think I brought this up with you last year. Are you a pie person at Thanksgiving?
Yes.
And
yes.
Yes. And you know the next question is going to be, what is your favorite?
Well, I like apple. Thanksgiving normal, the pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
I like cherry. So maybe it'd be easier if you ask me which ones I don't like.
Which would you pass aside?
I don't like the chewy ones that will rip your fillings out. So, other than that, they're all on the table and they're all up for grabs.
That would be like a saltwater taffy pie.
There you go. Yeah.
Right. All right. Steve and the team up at Mona's Danish Bakery, open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Not only do they want to hear about your pie order, but also your dinner rolls. And they, of course, are open Tuesday through Sunday, open for breakfast at 6:30. Check them out on the web. If you've not been by, I strongly suggest walking in, and you will have then some maybe difficult decision when you take a look at the bakery case. What do I want right now? I've gone back to really into the blueberry muffins. That's what I had over the weekend. We'll pause right here. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Tucson City Councilman-elect. Well, no, yeah, he'd be newly re-elected Councilman Steve Kasacek with us on the live line. These numbers for COVID just are not going down. It's plateaued and stayed at a certain level, and Arizona joins at least seven other mainly western inner mountain states that are really being slammed. Places like Colorado running out of ICU beds. Alaska's got big issues. And yet people still have this hesitancy over the vaccine. I went ahead and got my booster shot on Friday, and I'm glad I did. But you just can't convince some of the anti-vaxxers that this thing is for real, Steve Kasacek.
So in the state of Arizona, we've had over 1.1 million cases.
Yep.
In the state of Arizona, we've had over 21,000 deaths. You know, that those aren't fake numbers. If you want to just drill down into to Pima County, there have been over 2,700 deaths. We had 20 new deaths reported today by the Arizona Department of Health Services, just for Pima County, another 300 new cases. And so I track the weekly case counts in my newsletter. And in the first week in June, we had 130 new cases for that week. We have had over 2,000 new cases reported every week in the month of October. In Pima County, I'm talking about. I'm
right.
Not talking about statewide.
Yes, sir.
We have a looming deadline for city employees of December 1st. That if you are not vaccinated by December 1st, you're simply forfeiting your employment as a city worker. I would love to see now that the state Supreme Court has validated that what we have in place is legal. That our city workers, if they were sitting on the sidelines waiting for that legal ruling, that they step up now and say, okay, you know, discretion is the better part of valor. I'm going to go ahead and get a vaccination. It shouldn't have taken all these legal maneuverings and, you know, TPOA, the police union sued us and they lost. We got sued by Vince Leach. They've lost that too. The legal piece has played itself out. But we are on the right side of history. We are on the right side of science. We are on the right side of ethics. This is simply the right thing to do. If you're a city worker, you have an obligation to your coworkers. You have an obligation to the public, your family, everybody that you come in contact with, to get yourself a vaccination. These numbers aren't made up numbers. The government's not trying to insert a microchip in you by getting a vaccination. All of these arguments, they just don't hold water. Hundreds of millions of people have been vaccinated with these vaccines since they became available. What you do not see is you do not see ICU wards filled with people who are having adverse reactions to the vaccine. What you do see is ICU wards being filled with people who are unvaccinated. That's the reality. And it's time for people to step up to the plate and say, you know what, their numbers are for real. Both the numbers of people who are dying from COVID and the numbers of people who are filling ICU wards who are unvaccinated. That's what we're seeing. You talk to people in the healthcare industry, they are so tired right now of having to treat people on ventilators, people who are filling their room, their wards, who chose not to be vaccinated. And how many times do we have to see these bedside confessions of people who are saying, gee, I wish I had gotten vaccinated, and you know, it's just time. And so I'm not real thrilled with, I mean, obviously I don't want to see us lose police or firefighters or water department employees or any of our employees over this deadline. But it's the right thing to do. You are a public servant first, and you have an obligation to everybody you come in contact with in the public to make sure that you're doing it in the safest fashion possible.
Yeah,
vaccine is the way.
One of the listeners listening to you right now just sent me an email. Please ask Steve to comment. Can we really lay off cops with our current shortage? Is that smart?
It's not a question of smart. It's a question of whether it's the right thing to do. And we're not laying cops off. They are making a voluntary employment decision to forfeit their position as a police officer, a firefighter, a water department employee, or an accountant. You know, we're not laying them off. This is a voluntary choice that they're making, and they can simply go get a vaccination and continue in public service or not. And this is a voluntary termination. We're not laying people off.
What do you
think? That's
a misnomer.
Why are
police and in fire this hesitancy around North America, around the United States? What is that about this hesitancy of vaccinations?
Isn't it amazing that people who are in the most direct,
yeah,
direct contact with the,
yes,
public have this attitude that it's you know, I'll make my own rules, and it's ironic and it's inconsistent that somebody who is employed to enforce the law has this attitude that I'll make my own law and I'll operate by my own rules. And I have always supported and continue to support our public safety employees. Let's understand, though, that person who just emailed you,
yes,
we have round numbers 850 cops. We have round numbers 600-ish firefighters. It is less than 10% of them who are taking the position that I'll make my own rules and I will not get vaccinated. So the vast majority of the public safety employees and the vast majority of city workers generally, over 85%, have chosen to be vaccinated because it's the right thing to do, it's the smart thing to do, it's the science-based thing to do. So all of this controversy, in air quotes, is about a small percentage of our workers. Do I want to lose 10% of our cops or firefighters or water department? Of course I don't. But do they have an obligation to the public that they serve? Yes, they have an obligation to the public that they serve to do it in the safest way possible, and that means get vaccinated.
All right, let's go to the live line. Rick Grinnell, one-time city mayoral candidate, is with us on the live line. Rick, what's your question or comment?
Yeah, here's my concern with the city of Tucson. It's not the vaccine, and it's not the shots that I think people are opposing. I think it's the ultimate arrogance of the city council. 40% of the people in this city have no representation on this mayor and council. The continued insistence of doing things what you think is right for everybody overpowers an empathy and a willingness to work with you. We get tired of being told what to do. This minimum wage issue, they run basically a little Gestapo after businesses. So the people, I mean, this whole thing, the way the city of Tucson has been operating for the last almost decade, has okay. become insulting, and it really does not do well for the performance of the long-term city goals.
All righty. The opinion
so
of Rick Grinnell.
I'll be happy to respond. 30% okay. of the people have no representation. I assume he means Republicans. Mm-hmm. Then Rick put up a legitimate candidate. Val Romero ran as an independent, and he bragged about creating chaos in the Republican Party. If you want to run, if you want representation in quotes, and if you're talking about that from a partisan standpoint, then put up a legitimate candidate. There weren't any again this time. Secondly, it's not arrogant to point to fatalities in our community and say that you need to get a vaccination if you're going to be a public sector employee. That is not only legal, it's science-based. And so I put zero stock in what Rick just brought to the table. That's not arrogance. We're reading science books. We're not reading science fiction. And that's the reason we took the position that we did. I want to say one final thing before, because I don't want to run out of time. I want to wish Chuck Huckleberry and his family all the best before we sign off today. I know we're getting short.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck had a very, very serious bike accident, as most people know. I've been in touch with Jan Lesher, with several of the members of the Board of Supervisors, and want to wish Chuck and Maureen and his family the best as they work through this very serious injury that he's suffering with right now.
And the word from the family is the doctors are hopeful, optimistic, I think it might have even said in the news release yesterday, of a full recovery. And we're all, of course, hoping and praying for that.
Yep, full and speedy. I'd like to see him back out on the loop on his bike again as soon as possible.
All right, Steve Kasachek, congratulations on your re-election to another four-year term. Have a great day. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Bill. Take care of yourself.
All right, Buckmaster at the Midway Point. We'll be continuing with the program after we hear the CBS News update, then from the great Buckmaster Show sponsors, then I will be back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Green Things, 51 years and still growing. The place for all your gardening needs. Green Things on that beautiful, lovely 13-acre site. Also home to Zocalo Village, all the beautiful, fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things on River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. On the web at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. President Biden has restored protection for the Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments in Utah, restoring protections for these two environmentally and culturally sensitive national monuments. Why Bears Ears? What's that all about? It's been in the news over the course of three presidents. Why did it become a big national story? And what does the recent restoration mean for the future? Let's try to get answers to those questions from Bill Doley. Dr. Bill Doley, President and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, a nonprofit based here in Tucson. Bill is one of two dozen contributors on a regular basis to this program. His contributions in the area of archaeology. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Bill, and good to be back with you here.
It is good to hear you again, and we've talked with you, probably over the last couple of years about this Bears Ears National Monument. What is it? Why is it so important, Bill Doley?
Well, national monuments are, I think, really important to the American public. So there's that really big baseline there. It's a way people access public lands. And one way that national monuments get established is by a so-called Antiquities Act proclamation. So the President of the United States, using a 1906 bill called the Antiquities Act, can make a proclamation, doesn't have to go to Congress, and can establish a new national monument. And that can focus on scientific resources, cultural and historical resources. So the passage of that act in 1906, Teddy Roosevelt was the president who signed the act, and he started making new national monuments right away. He actually, in the final 2.5 years of his presidential term, established 18 new national monuments. The really, really important thing about Bears Ears, though, a lot of those older national monuments actually kind of ignored the interests and values of the Native American population. And with Bears Ears, it was five sovereign tribal nations in the Four Corners area. It was the Navajo Nation, Hopi, Zuni, and two Ute tribes said to President Obama in 2015, please use your powers under the Antiquities Act to help us protect, and they were asking for a 1.9 million acre national monument in southeastern Utah. I don't know if you've been to Bears Ears, Bill, but the Bears Ears are two buttes that when you're back a little ways, they look actually like the ears of bears on the landscape. It's an absolutely magnificent environment. It's full, the canyons there are full of preserved ancient Pueblo ruins and older pictographs, painted designs on walls that were protected. It's just a magnificent place. It's full of sacred places to those tribes.
I have not been in that area, that particular monument, but I've been up to the other one, the Escalante National Monument, which is, I believe, close by. And, of course, I've been in that Four Corners area. Bill, to kind of move this along, the Trump era, Donald Trump took a different stance, obviously, than President Obama. There were commercial interests that wanted all of this scaled back, and President Trump did that, didn't he?
Yes. Very early on, he started sort of threatening. The idea was taken to the American public. Well over 2 million people in a short 2 week response time said, don't mess with those monuments. Nevertheless, the 1.35 million acre Bears Ears National Monument was cut down to a mere 15% of its original size, about 200,000 acres. And so the respectful, you know, actions of the Biden administration, or excuse me, the Obama administration to establish the monument, then the again disrespectful treatment of the place by President Trump. When Biden, some people actually thought that when Biden was inaugurated, that even on that first day in office, that he might reestablish the monument. Because again, what he did is said, let's do a study. So he ordered a study for his new Secretary of Interior, the first Native American to be the Secretary of the Interior, implemented that study. That came out in early June. And of course, information in Washington leaks. It was a private study, but, we knew by mid-June that she had recommended the restoration of Bears Ears as well as Grand Staircase Escalante. But then we went into this waiting period. When is Biden going to act? And finally, on October 8th, Biden introduced by his Secretary of Interior, Deb Haaland from the Laguna Pueblo, restored the 1.35 million acres that was the original monument. And the Trump monument had an extra 10 or 11,000 acres that he kept that in as well. So it's a little bit bigger now. The tribes are happy, but I think they still are hoping that it will be possible to honor that special landscape with a 1.9 million, so even a further expansion at some point. But we'll have to see on that. That's probably in the future.
All right, Bill, before we let you go, I want to have you tell our listeners about an organization that I have supported for years. I think you all do a great job, Archaeology Southwest. Tell us about it.
Well, we're based here in Tucson. We've been here for almost 32 years, and we're a nonprofit. We try to bring preservation archaeology mission to connecting places and stories of the past to the people and values of the present. I think if people are interested in places like Bears Ears, we offer a weekly little digest of what's going on in Southwestern archaeology called Southwest Archaeology Today. You can go to our website, and right there on that landing page, the website is www.archaeologysouthwest, all spelled out, .org, and sign up for this free weekly digest of all the different articles so people could keep up on what's happening with Bears Ears, what's happening with Grand Staircase Escalante, what's happening with tribal connections to this amazing landscape that we are living in here in the Southwest. So
The land conservation is a big issue that you all are keeping track of, and we'll be telling our listeners about that in coming visits with you. Protection of up to 70% of the nation's lands and waters is a goal to fight climate change by 2030. So we're going to hear more about that from you, Bill, at a later time.
30% is the 2030 goal, but...
2030 goal,
yes,
correct.
Yes.
All right. Bill Doley, thank you very much. And by the way, you also have an outstanding magazine that comes out quarterly.
Yes. Thank you very much, Archaeology Southwest Magazine.
All right. Again, the website, archaeologysouthwest.org. Thank you, Dr. Bill Doley.
Thanks, Bill. Bye now.
All right. Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. Coming up next, Courtney Sloniker from the Red Cross. There's some exciting changes that Courtney will tell us about right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It's Buckmaster with you, midweek edition. We like to say that generally the Buckmaster Show guarantee, and it's usually pretty much right on, is about 10 degrees cooler for the high over in Silver City. What a nice day they're having. Midday over in Silver, it's 70 degrees. That's about right. It's maybe a little bit, Tucson be the low 80s over in Silver City, then 10 degrees cooler. At least the overnight lows, much cooler than a 10 degree variance from Tucson, 35 degrees. So kind of chilly at night. Take a jacket when you make the 3-hour drive, hop in the car, the truck, or whatever to get to Silver City. 3 hours and you'll be in a really beautiful place. Nice environment. And Bill Doley was talking about national monuments in our previous segment. I think Teddy Roosevelt, President Roosevelt, in 1906, the first, or within the first couple national monuments, was the Gila National Wilderness, or excuse me, the Cliff Dwellings National Monument, just north of Silver City. So that's something for you to see. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's go now on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Courtney Sloniker is with us, the Southern Arizona Chapter Executive Director for the American Red Cross. Courtney, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Well, there's some exciting news happening with the Red Cross locally, and it has to do with your Foothills location. What's going on with that, Courtney?
Yes, Bill. Super exciting news for the Red Cross here in Southern Arizona. We just opened up about a month and a half ago a brand new Foothills Blood and Platelet Donation Center. For any of you that are up in Oro Valley or Marana that generously donate, you might remember our previous location in the Foothills Mall. We are now just across the street on that corner of La Cholla and Ina in a brand new center, totally outfitted to increase our ability to collect, gorgeous floor-to-ceiling windows. It's just a really beautiful center, welcoming, all to help save lives here in Southern Arizona and across the country.
So it's easy to access this new facility.
This new facility is easy to access. It's 7354 North La Cholla for anyone that wants to stop by, check it out, and book an appointment. Parking on the front, on the side of the building. If anyone's familiar with that corner, the Albertsons is right there. We're just a little bit north of Albertsons and that whole shopping plaza. You can't miss the sign as you're heading north on La Cholla. So we do encourage everyone, if you haven't donated or maybe you put that appointment off, please give us a call, 1-800-RED-CROSS. Go to redcrossblood.org, book an appointment, and enjoy our new Foothills Donation Center, because it really is a great investment for the organization and for the Southern Arizona community as we continue to increase our collections here, both for whole blood and platelets.
And what is the update on your overall blood picture right now, Courtney?
You know, Bill, it's looking a little bit grim right now, to be fully honest. We issued a emergency blood shortage at the end of September, and we're still facing that blood shortage right now, which means more blood is leaving the shelf that's coming on the shelf. And what that means for, you know, our community and for communities across the country is patient care could be delayed, such as cancer patients that need platelet products or people with, you know, blood disorders that need regular transfusions. That could be delayed when we experience this type of severe shortage, you know, with different COVID cases spiking across the country, people having to get back into work. There's a number of reasons why we're experiencing the shortage, but right now in this fall, beautiful weather that we're experiencing here in Tucson and across Southern Arizona, we typically don't see shortages right now. We typically see them when the holidays hit, around that Thanksgiving timeframe, around the Christmas, you know, holiday. But we're experiencing a shortage now, so we really need any eligible donor to roll up a sleeve and come out and donate. Help us curb the current shortage that we have, and hopefully help us prevent a shortage that we could experience in the holiday season.
How about the COVID protocols for donors?
You know, we get a lot of those questions, Bill. The safety of our donors and our staff are the first priority. We already have really strict infection control procedures in place. We are regulated by the FDA. So in order to protect all of you, masks are required when you enter any of our facilities. So when you go to a mobile blood drive or you go to our brand new Foothills Donation Center, masks are required. If you've received the vaccine, there's different eligibility requirements. If you have questions about that, if you just got the vaccine or you're getting the booster and you have questions about it, please give us a call, 1-800-RED-CROSS. We can talk to you confidentially. But strict infection control procedures throughout the whole donation process. We have them from the start of the pandemic, and we'll continue them to keep our donors safe.
Are there different levels? You mentioned platelets, and then walk us through generally what blood donation is all about.
Yeah, great question, Bill. So a lot of people just hear blood donations, but there's a couple of different types of donations you can make, and some of them are specific to your blood type. So if you don't know your blood type, this is a great opportunity for you to learn about your blood type. Once you make your first donation with us, we will let you know what your blood type is. But we have whole blood, so that's when we take, it's a pretty quick donation process. The actual time from when you start donating blood to the end is usually about 10 to 12 minutes, so relatively quick process to actually collect the blood. But that whole blood can actually be separated into the three main components of our blood, which would be the red blood cells, the platelets, and the plasma. So that whole blood donation could be used to save up to three lives, depending on what type of product the patient needs. Then we have platelets. Platelets are absolutely critical for cancer patients and for burn victims and for other patients that are experiencing the loss of platelets, which are the clotting factor in our blood. Platelets have a 5-day shelf life. So when someone rolls up their sleeve to donate platelets, that platelet product has to be used within 5 days for it to be viable for a patient. So we constantly need people to donate platelets. Platelets do take a little bit longer to donate. It's usually between an hour and a half to 2-hour process. However, we have comfy beds. We get you situated with blankets, set you up with your favorite Netflix special, or you got to catch up on a show or a movie, and you can sit there enjoying that movie or show and binge-watching Netflix while you're simultaneously saving a life. So that's our platelet process. And the plasma is a very similar process as well. If you're not sure what the best donation type is for you, again, give us a call, 1-800-RED-CROSS, and we can answer those questions that you have about eligibility and what's going to be the best donation. There's a number of ways people can help out with blood collections. If you know that you can't donate or you're not eligible to donate, the next best thing you can do is get someone to donate in your honor. So that's what we encourage everyone to do.
And your region is all of Southern Arizona. What are your geographical boundaries?
Great question. So we cover the bottom smile of Arizona, I'd like to say. We cover 7 counties in Southern Arizona, starting up in La Paz County, down to Yuma, over to Pima County, Santa Cruz, Cochise, Graham, and Greenlee. However, our blood bank, once our local needs are met, we provide 90% of the blood to Southern Arizona. Once the local need is met, that blood can be used across the country wherever it's needed most. Our goal is to ensure that that the people that need blood products get it when they need it. And so once that local need is met, your blood could be used wherever it's needed most. Could be in California, could be across the country. We provide 40% of the nation's blood supply. We're the single largest blood supplier across the country. We have an incredibly intricate management and logistical system to ensure that blood gets where it needs to go as quickly as possible.
Wow, what a huge, important center you have there, Courtney Sloniker. And again, the website?
The website, redcrossblood.org, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. You can use your zip code, and you can find the blood drive nearest you. Book that appointment. And if you want to donate at the Foothills brand new donation center, use 85741. Book that appointment. 1 to 2 hours of your time to save someone's life. Blood, the need for blood doesn't stop amidst the holidays. They don't take breaks, right? They don't take breaks for Thanksgiving. They don't take breaks for the Christmas holiday. Patients are still relying on all of us to step up and roll up a sleeve. So I encourage everyone, carve out a new tradition this holiday season and donate.
Thank you very much, Courtney Sloniker. Thanks. All right, that'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, Bill Buckmaster saying thanks for listening.